Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go. You'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. And I live in a van down by the river.
That's awesome.
Watching old SNL clips. Let's talk about our favorite characters.
Man, there are some good ones. That is a hard job to rule it down to just one or two.
Well, let's grab a couple here. What do you think?
Well, I, you know, am not as old as you guys, so my favorite SNL characters are going to be different than yours, but it's a tie between Kristen Wiig and Jimmy Fallon.
But what characters?
The Target lady.
Ah!
Welcome to Target! Those are some smart slacks. And really, Jimmy Fallon, I just like watching him mess up and laugh.
Yeah, he couldn't keep a straight face for nothing, especially in one of your favorite clips.
My favorite clip and character was Will Ferrell in Cowbell. Of course, more cowbell.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a fever. The only prescription is more cowbell.
I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like any other guy. But once I get my pants on, I make hit records.
That's right. That's so good.
I gotta have more cowbell. It was Christopher Walken. Incredible stuff. I mean, that's classic.
Yeah. Well, you opened up with quite a classic as well.
Well, that was my favorite era. That era, the mid to late 90s, when you had Adam Sandler, Chris Farley, Will Ferrell, Sherry O'Terry.
I wasn't allowed to watch it then.
Yeah, Haley, how do you even know? Haley watched her first Saturday Night Live episode after we got married.
Probably so. Yeah, that's actually pretty accurate.
I'm not even sure you knew what it was. And then we tuned in about the time of Target Lady.
I am as old as SNL.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's
amazing. But I remember we weren't allowed to watch it either, but when we would go to our cousin's house for the summer, we would get to
see it. It's always the cousins.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It just always is.
I remember watching Eddie Murphy as Buckwheat when he gets shot, and they kept playing the reel back. Like, they'd be putting him on the gurney and putting him into the ambulance, and the reporter would come and goes, "Have you seen the footage of Buckwheat being shot? No? Watch this. Hey, Buckwheat."
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's really funny.
Look it
man.
Up. It's a classic.
Talk about Chris Farley, and it's hard not to think about the episode where he did the dance off with Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, it was the Chippendales auditions.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
That was disturbing, like, but you couldn't take your eyes away.
Yeah, that sounds disturbing.
Very
actually.
Disturbing. Disturbing. Yeah, it really sticks with you, let me tell you.
Couldn't stop watching it. It was so hilarious. When he was so animated and such a slapstick comedian, I mean, over 300 pounds and could just move his body around as if he was 90 pounds, you know?
That's right.
Probably one of my favorite cast members of all time, Chris Farley.
Yeah.
And you know, many of those cast members started out in comedy clubs and improv clubs and were picked up by Lorne Michaels to be on the cast of SNL, and they developed lifelong relationships with those other cast members. And
that's
they're still
right.
friends today. And if you watch like Adam Sandler movies, he's always pulling in Rob Schneider or somebody from the old cast. And that's what we're going to talk about today, radical relationships, going the long haul with those that we're in relationship with. And later on the program, Melissa Brintrow will be joining us talking about specifically marriage and sticking it out for the long haul. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that. Stick around.
The single mom raising kids alone. The woman headed back to school to start a new career. The woman loving and cherishing children that you didn't get to birth. The single woman who isn't waiting for a man to help you really live your adventure. The brave mom who homeschools. The brave mom who doesn't. The businesswoman. The lady preacher who's going against the religious flow. Every day, you fight for what is right and good and healthy. You wage war against dysfunctional patterns and habits in your own life and in the world around you by living with a heart that is becoming whole and healthy. You were made with a beautiful mind that solves problems and a beautiful body that creates and sustains life. You are Wonder Woman. Look around you, see the beautiful ones, and champion them.
Empowering women to thrive. Ladies, catch an all-new episode of the On Fire podcast tomorrow at onfirepodcast.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Whoa!
Next week we're going to be talking about house fires, kind of the revolution that's happening across the globe with home fires burning, worship in living rooms, people getting back to relationship and community, and we're going to have on the program our very good friend, Kit Henry, bro.
Yeah, bro. We'll find out his middle name, maybe.
Yeah. Today we are diving into the topic of radical relationships.
Wow, what an amazing journey we've had the past few years talking about relationship, talking about what it means. And I think this is something that's happening across the earth. You mentioned that, Josh, just a minute ago. But what does it mean when we say relationship? I mean, you're going to have so many different opinions and experiences. A lot of times in the church, relationships are hard because you're building something around, you know, a couple hours on a Sunday. But we're trying to redefine this, you know, and we're even asking ourselves, how do we redefine it? Maybe from the Lord's heart. So we started saying this line, and we use this speaking of house fires. We use this a lot in house fires. When I say I love you, it means I'm never going away. Yeah. That doesn't mean that we will always exist in the same geographic spot or always be in the same season we're in now together. But when I say I love you, that means the most valuable thing that we have is our relationship, and nothing else gets to compete with it. Not personal preferences or opinions. Those things have to take a back seat to I love you. And I love to draw this reference from Scripture because Jesus said, never will I leave you or forsake you. And we're just trying to adopt that mentality when we talk about radical relationship. Really, how do you pursue people on purpose? Then how do you steward that connection for the long haul?
I love how you brought up Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we've made mention to things that Jesus has said in the past. And a lot of times as Christians, we make certain statements that Jesus said exclusive to Jesus, like only he could say them.
Right.
But it does say in Scripture that as he was, so are we in this world. Mm-hmm. So the statements that Jesus made are statements we can make too. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Mm. You know, it's not blasphemy. It is the truth of him filling all things with himself. Yeah. It is the seed of Jesus planted in the earth and risen again and ascended, pouring out the Spirit upon all flesh that we may do greater things. Yeah. So how did Jesus do ministry? Through relationship.
Yeah, he called it discipleship.
Yeah.
In fact.
Yeah.
I like that you mentioned how do we pursue people but then steward relationships for the long haul, because I think that without the stewarding part, you cannot have successful long-term relationships. What I mean by that is that you have to be able to evaluate the health of a relationship from both perspectives. Is it healthy for you? Is it healthy for them? Is the rate that you are pursuing and the things that you're doing, are they producing fruit that is healthy? It's kind of like gardening. You just have to be in it. You have to be aware. And if you want real good fruit, you have to actually make the effort.
Yeah. And you and I, Haley, we've had this conversation a lot because we've been on this journey together. And we just made a decision a few years ago to start purposely pursuing people.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you start to discover which relationships are really beneficial and which ones sometimes can become a little toxic.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's maybe a little caveat here. We're not saying to sabotage your personal life with toxic relationships that drain you and make you the city dump for all their issues. But we are saying, and we use this word a lot, the like-hearted type of relationships where you pursue someone and that relationship becomes a fruitful thing in the kingdom. There are other relationships that we have to pursue, but sometimes you have to say, okay, you can't come inside my inner circle because there is still some toxicity here. Now, you wouldn't tell that to the person, but those relationships, as part of the stewarding, it's part of knowing, okay, this relationship, that's going to start getting a little too much there, and you kind of have to gauge that and see how to steward that for the long term. And we've had those where I feel like, you know, we're the really pursuers of this when it takes a lot of effort and a lot of work, and sometimes energy. It does. But if relationship is that valuable and that powerful, what else are we supposed to be doing? You know, what else are we supposed to be investing in? Or are we going to invest in building some institution where, you know, it doesn't allow for a deep connection? Or are we going to start stewarding deep connections?
Yeah.
Well, you just said it, investing. And that is what relationship is. It's investing in the ultimate potential of a person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good.
And that is where you kind of have to look at people with that perspective. If you try to invest in where they are,
mm-hmm.
you'll get caught up.
Yes.
Yeah. And you'll get caught in, if there is toxicity there, you'll get caught up in the toxicity. And mm-hmm. some people aren't in agreement with the Father. And so that can be real dangerous, and that can hurt you. That can hurt your heart, and that can hurt your
family,
investment, your relationship, everything. So when you invest in someone's ultimate potential, you are cheerleading them to become who they are destined to be. And then you don't get caught up in who they are now.
Yeah.
But you always see them as who they will be. Not only is it non-judgmental, it doesn't control them. It allows them to make decisions for themselves, and they're totally responsible for themselves. If you start to invest in who they are, then ultimately you become responsible for them.
Oh, wow.
And it creates codependencies and all kinds of other things that
well said
that aren't healthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's an art to love and boundaries that can really be beautiful and strong. And we've had relationships where it's very clearly we are the pursuer, and it can be a little energy draining. But when we evaluate what it is, the gift of God that we see in someone, that is what makes us want to continue to pursue. And then we have other relationships where we definitely pursue and are pursued back, and that is life that feeds us emotionally. It feeds us even spiritually, that we have people that we speak to them and they speak back to us just the same.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that you brought that point up, Josh, about seeing people for who they're called or destined to be. People who are mentoring and discipling the next generation, that prophetic father thing that sees 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, the prophetic ability to look into someone's destiny and see what heaven has intended for them to become. And that's so important for our generation to grab. We've got a lack of it, I feel like. And I feel like the next generation that's coming is going to be a result of people like us who are saying yes to the father role in the body of Christ. You're saying yes to, I'm going to hold you accountable to your ability. You know, not in the negative sense, not holding you accountable to all the mistakes you make, but I'm holding you accountable to what heaven says over your life. And that's what's so powerful about the community we're building, is that we're starting to reorient everybody to see, as the Bible says, to know each other after the Spirit, to know one another after the Spirit.
Yeah.
We start to be associated with the things that heaven's declaring over our lives, and then speak and feed into that and watch it bloom.
And the greatest thing about that, if you are in a relationship with somebody, you don't have to have a word of knowledge about who they're going to become. It's simply the truth of who they are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's the truth of what the Word says about us, that we are empowered and we have authority and we are filled with the Spirit and we are able to cast out devils and set the captives free and raise the dead and heal the sick and speak truth and life. And those are the truths, the general truths about somebody and what they're destined to become.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't even have to have a specific, like, this is your calling, this is where you're going to end up, and these are the purposes in your life. But you are that in Christ. And if somebody's not acting accordingly to that, then you can call that gold out in them, because it's who they really are if they're a believer in Jesus.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know if there are people out there who feel like unchampioned or alone, but I know that Clint, you and I went a long season where no one would champion us. And so what we began to do was look around us to find other people to champion. And instead of waiting for someone to build relationship with us, we decided to go build relationship with others. That was a pretty amazing turning point in our life.
Yeah,
that's it. Proverbs says, if you want friends, you must first show yourself friendly. I mean, the fail safe is this.
It's so simple, huh?
Have relationship with the Father. Jesus came so that we could.
Yeah.
And if we become intimate with the Father, we will always do relationships well,
mm-hmm.
because we'll reflect his nature. We'll be just like him. We'll represent him to everyone that we have a relationship with. That's the key. I mean, I remember growing up in church, and I was even taught by my parents, they did a great job, but the emphasis was on doing the next right thing.
Mm-hmm.
because it was what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And in my early adult life, I just threw caution to the wind and dove into whatever I wanted to do because I was tired of doing the next right thing. As I matured and came back into relationship with the Lord, I didn't understand my identity. So I went back to that pattern of doing the next right thing.
Yeah.
And it's a miserable place to be. But when you fall in love, whenever you fall into an intimate relationship with the Father and He begins to show you who you are and what your identity is in Christ, then you do what He wants because you're in love with Him.
Yeah.
And that is really the kind of relationship that we want to build with each other as well.
Right.
We want to be in love together.
Yeah, absolutely. And we found out that in that kind of relationship, Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God builds something powerful. You know, He dwells like in that space between us, that connection. It's just a real incredible dynamic, and you find smatterings of it throughout the Bible of Holy Spirit interacting through love. It even talks about the gifts being expressed through love. I just reminded of that story Bob Jones had when he died. If you know who Bob Jones is, he saw Jesus and Jesus said, "Did you learn to love well?" And Bob said no. And He sent him back. The guy died, came back to life, and for the next, you know, 15, 20 years, however much long time he had left, he learned to love well. That's and that good. Was the message on his life. Wow. And people still talk about it.
Wow, wow, wow. Well, someone who stewarded this very well in her life, in her community, and in her family, Melissa Brentrow is going to be on the program with us when we come back.
Thank you for listening to the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Recently, there has been an opening for sponsorship of the program. If your group or organization would like to sponsor the Next Gen Worship broadcast, please email us info@nextgenworship.com. This is a powerful way to partner with a movement that is inspiring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Become a sponsor of the Next Gen Worship broadcast today. Find out more information at nextgenworship.com or submit your request for sponsorship via email info@nextgenworship.com. And thank you for supporting the Next Gen Worship broadcast.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're sitting down with Kent Henry talking about house fires, the global phenomenon of relationship building, community building in homes all across the globe. Francis Chan has done this and walked away from a congregation of thousands in order to develop relationships in smaller settings and do discipleship well. We'll be talking about Kent Henry and his new project, Carriage House Ministries, next week. Today, we've been discussing radical relationship, and to sit down and go into detail about marriage and the long haul, we interview Melissa Brentrow.
Melissa Brentrow, welcome to the show today. So we have had you and your husband on before. Love having conversations with you guys because you're real and transparent, and you're really going about life and family intentionally. But in case someone hasn't heard of you guys and what you're doing, just give us a little backstory. Tell us about Melissa Brentrow and Steve Brentrow and a bit about Life of the Family.
Yeah, well, we started a blog, lifeofthefamily.com, out of the passion and the joy that we have in our family. It's something we enter into wholeheartedly, and we look around us and we want to encourage other families to join us on that adventure, just giving your whole heart and your whole passion to being moms and dads and wives and husbands. And so we write out of joy and passion and sometimes frustration and angst with what we see going on around us. But we've been married for 16 years. We have a couple of kids. We live in Nashville. We have a pretty unique lifestyle. Steve works from home. He's an entrepreneur, and I homeschool, so we travel a lot, and we get to be together a lot. It gives us plenty of time to come up with topics.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we love reading the things that come out of your heart on your website. And you recently wrote a blog that Haley and I both read and said, wow, super excited to kind of dive into this subject. But the blog was titled The Four Gates of Marriage. So why don't you take us on a little bit of a journey? And I know you got some fight in your heart and some fire about fighting for marriage and the current state of the way people approach marriages maybe in our modern era. But open this up a little bit and help us unpack why you wrote this blog.
Well, I'm taking it from the standpoint of that our wedding vows, our marriage vows, they affect not just ourselves, but everyone that's connected to us. And I started off the blog just telling the story of when we had been married 2 years, some friends of ours, very close friends, announced their divorce, and we just felt blindsided. This was not what we expected. And it really shook us in a good way, actually, in the end, because it took off some of that naivety that we just expect this will just roll on and last forever, because that was plan A. And we realized that we had to start fighting for it. And we also realized that those vows, they touch everyone, that not only do we depend on each other, but a lot of people in our circle depend on us, and we depend on them to be faithful to those vows. And actually, this blog was written out of a certain degree of pain, and I don't want to go into it too deep, but there's marriages around us, and I said, like, every time one of them crumbles, it still rocks us. Even though our commitment to each other is solid, it feels like an earthquake. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that, because it's your support system around you that's crumbling because someone else didn't keep their vows. And I think we need to be more honest as married couples with these young, fresh people that are getting married. Like, the wedding in itself is so beautiful and everything is pristine and perfect. But marriage itself, to get to the good parts, it's a battle. You don't roll into your 20th year anniversary just like it was a piece of cake. You have fought hard, side by side, fought each other, fought together to get to that point. And we need to be more honest about the things that we're going through so that people around us are taking marriage much more seriously. But it shouldn't be entered into lightly. That it requires massive amounts of courage and character.
Right, right. You know, a lot of times we see marriages crumble either early on or maybe around the 15, 20 year mark, like you're talking about. And it's funny because the foundation of marriage is relationship. And man, a lot of people are pretty dysfunctional. You know, they don't know how to have a healthy relationship, how to cultivate that relationship. Why don't you kind of share your thoughts about cultivating relationship with your spouse for the long haul?
Well, one reason that we work so hard on that is because if we don't, then how much easier is it for our own children and our grandchildren to just walk away from their marriage? So the reason that we fight so hard is to establish a legacy of marriages and families that are strong and can perpetuate that. And so Steve and I realized after our friends in our 2 year anniversary got divorced that we would have to have some strategies in place. And so it's not like it came together quickly. We just started seeking out people of strength, people of character who'd been married a while, and modeling ourselves. You'll see that in the Bible, where you model yourself after somebody. And so we gathered close and we came up with 4 standards. I call them gates, because they are like things that wall off your marriage from destruction and from messes that come in. They help you stop being negligent and careless. Finances, independence, keeping secrets, and the last one was being holy. Marriage means we're financially tied. So whenever it comes to budgeting, we don't hand it off to one spouse or the other. We work on it together. Decisions, when we first were married, we'd make $100 decisions together. Now it's like our life is not that simple anymore. So it's the bigger decisions, but we still make it together. It's not just one person handling it. So that if one of us has fears or concerns, we're constantly talking. There's a great book I'd recommend to people. It's called Smart Couples Finish First. But he says, of course, this is not a shocker, money conflict is one of the top 4 reasons for divorce. And all of us bring feelings into marriage about money, about its purpose, and experiences from our childhood. I know Sue's family was economically a lot different than mine, so we really had to work to stay transparent and honest with each other about how we felt. And he had to slow down a little bit and let me catch up and learn. Then we said, marriage means we forfeit the right to independence. And this is huge. I don't think we understand this, but whenever we agree to marry each other, we're giving up independence. I really appreciate time alone with my girlfriend sometimes, or time by myself. I'm not saying that isn't important, because it is. It's a good recharge time. But the majority of my time now belongs to my husband. We chose to do life together, and that means a big percentage of my time goes to him, and I'm not going to be off on the side developing lots and lots of relationships that don't include him. Because mm-hmm. that's actually, especially in the younger years of marriage, that's a danger point. You want to grow together. That's done by time
mm-hmm.
and family. And this is impacting marriages close to us that are crumbling. This is one that I see where they kept living their own independent lives and it didn't end up working well.
Mm-hmm.
So marriage means that we invest time together foremost. And then we said marriage is the end of keeping secrets. If he is going to be somewhere, I always know where he's at. If he picks up my phone, there's no surprises there. I know I have an older friend who disagrees with me on this point, and maybe I'll feel differently when I'm 50, but I'd never text someone else's husband or another person, another guy, without a good, solid reason. Mm-hmm. Get in, communicate, get it done. If I'm going to just share about my day or thoughts that I'm having, things I'm thinking about lately, I'm not going to do that with another man.
Yeah.
Not that it's a sin. It's not a sin. That's not what I'm talking about. It's a place where carelessness can give way to problems in your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I might feel different when I'm older, but right now I've got friends around me where this caused them problems. They had relationships with other people that were too close. And when the going got rough in their marriage, it was too easy to turn to another friendship or relationship.
Uh-huh.
So we're careful. We don't keep secrets with each other. I never give my husband a reason to feel jealous. We're also really honest. If something concerns us a little bit, we talk about it. And then the last one I said is marriage is a holy arrangement. Well, like last night, we were watching this legal show, and we flipped it off as soon as it looked like this one character was going to have an affair with this other person. We cannot grow casual to that kind of stuff. We can't get used to it. Casual affairs, those wreck people. And I'm never going to flip it on in my home. I'm never going to set my eyes and enjoy it like entertainment, because it's not. Because I have so much experience with friends who this has wrecked their lives. I have a good friend right now whose life is just devastated by a casual affair. And it's not funny. It's not entertainment. The Bible calls us to be holy. And sometimes we can see that as like restrictions, a whole list of do's and don'ts, which is not what these safeguards are that I'm talking about. We choose holiness because it empowers our life. Because by choosing holiness, we open up our life to something better. It's like setting yourself apart. Holiness gives you power. It doesn't restrict you. It opens up your life.
Yeah. I think that's a really powerful point that really struck me. You know, a lot of people listening to this have varying degrees of marriage conflict and problems, and it's a growth process. And this marriage, this husband-wife thing, this family thing, this is born from heaven, and this is meant to tell a story of our Father's heart and what He's trying to create in the earth. And so it's really impossible to do in that way without His power. So I wondered if you would just pray for everybody listening to empower their marriage, to empower that connection, to release grace and the ability to stay connected and to grow together.
Yeah, I'm going to just pray too for people to be vigilant. God gives us a life. He sets the lonely in the families and empowers us to be managers of that. So right now, Holy Spirit, I pray for everyone that's listening to this, that power you use to create and establish this world would fill these husbands and wives right now and empower them to be managers of the relationships that you have set them in and the relationships that you've blessed them with. God, I pray that you would drive out every bit of negligence and that you would begin to clean house in their marriage and empower them, God. Put your hands on their hands and train them to be managers. Train them to fight. You train our hands for war, and sometimes that's inside our home, cleaning up where we've let negligence come in. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you breathe in the breath of God into these marriages and blow out destruction and carelessness and apathy, and that you tighten the ranks between these husbands and wives and knit their hearts together. Where division has come in, all of us together, we stand up and say, no, we are not going to have a casual attitude towards separation and division. We choose the holiness of God. In marriage, we choose unity. We choose to fight for this relationship in the name of Jesus, that you just raise that fight back up. And these husbands whose marriages are growing cold and casual, and then these wives whose marriages are growing distant, raise up that fight and that devotion again. Holy Spirit, there is a devotion that burns in you. Now let it burn in the wives and the husbands that are listening to us right now. Rekindle that fire and show them, God, practically how to put their hand to the work of their marriage, in the practical and the spiritual, in devotion to God and in their homes, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, that is incredibly powerful. And even just as you're praying, so many great nuggets of truth for us. We want to get people connect with you guys. What you're carrying is extremely powerful. It's really just a testimony of the life that you guys are living. So how can we connect people with you and your husband, Steve, and Life of the Family?
Yeah, well, you can always reach us at melissa@lifeofthefamily.com or steve@lifeofthefamily.com. And there's our website. And we're also on Facebook, of course. It's Facebook.com/lifeofthefamily. And then we're on Instagram and Pinterest and all of those platforms too.
Excellent. Melissa, I really appreciate your time. I really appreciate you taking the time to invest in some people today that, you know, aren't in the room, so to speak. But I just want to encourage you guys that what we see in you is gold, and we ourselves are encouraged and inspired by everything that you guys do.
Thank you.
So good to have Melissa on the program with us today. Her and her husband, Steve, are good friends of ours, and we are excited about having them on the show again in the future, talking about Life of the Family. Next week, Kent Henry on the program with us as we discuss house fires. You don't want to miss it.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.